Welcome to Lift Leadership Podcast with Bobby Alger. Each episode, Bobby will share insights and tips from his over 25 years of church leadership experience. For new episodes and more information, please visit crossroadswinchester.com.
Welcome to Lift Leadership. I'm Bobby Alger, and today I want to talk to you about selecting loyal leaders. If you're listening to this podcast or watching, you're probably involved in some kind of leadership at some capacity, or maybe you're just learning about leadership. As I look back in my life, I am presently 27 years in pastoral ministry. But as I look back in my life and I think, where did I learn leadership? Where did it start from? Obviously, your family of origin has something to contribute. For instance, I'm the last of six children, and you would think that none of my children would listen to the baby. But the fact is that since my parents are gone, when a family decision needs to be made, they contact me. And so, again, there's this family of origin that contributes to your leadership. But even beyond that, I began to think that I didn't learn leadership from the present profession that I was in. It actually started, as I think about it, way back in high school. I was a part of this organization called Future Farmers of America. And as I look back and the things that I was taught and learned and positions I was in and leadership I was given, that I really learned and started my leadership abilities and understanding how leadership worked way back in high school. And then as I got into college, again, I was involved in other organizations and places to grow my leadership. And then for a period of time, I was involved in business. And after business, then it was when I got into pastoral ministry, which I have been a part of for 27 years. Now, during that time, I've been in two churches. One was a multi-staff, multi-site church, a large staff in many churches. And then the second experience, which I'm currently a part of and giving leadership to, I started a church from scratch. Moved to a town an hour north of where I was living and just started a church from scratch, and now been here as a senior leader for 27 years. So again, just a brief history of who I am, and I want to say that I'm still learning leadership, but I enjoy reading books, business books on leadership, and going to seminars, and it's like a passion of mine of how can I get better and how can I serve better, and so this podcast is just a way of sharing things that I've learned along the way. And I want to share them with you, our listeners and friends. I guess I can say like J.K. Simmons of Farmers Insurance, we know a thing or two because we've been around. Let me get this straight. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. And that's certainly true in leadership. When you've been around for a while, you've seen a thing or two and you know a thing or two. Now, obviously, I don't know all there is. In fact, maybe you'll have something to add to things that I share today that I'll learn from you when you drop a comment or send us an email. That would be great to learn about your experience. I'm always open to grow. Why don't I jump into the topic today? And that is selecting loyal leaders. I really learned this lesson out of several mistakes that I made. I'm reminded of the young banker that was coming in, and he was replacing the outgoing president who'd been there for years and years, very successful. And so this young guy coming in, and he wanted to really jump in and do his job well. And so he asked this outgoing president, retiring president, several questions so that he could be just a positive success like the previous one was. He said, I really want to make good decisions. How did you make good decisions? And the outgoing president said, I made mistakes. He goes, oh, really? Well, why did you make mistakes? He said, bad decisions. So, you know what? While we would like to think that leadership doesn't go wrong at times, it does. And even bad decisions, when they're evaluated, you can actually turn them around and start making good decisions from the bad ones or even your mistakes, like I'm going to share here in a few moments. And as a result of that, you become successful. So as I talk about loyal leaders, I really think about three characteristics that I look for. And again, I've learned this over the years as a result of making several mistakes. I realize that my context may be different from yours. In other words, you might not be in a spiritual context like I am. And so what I share may need to be adapted a little bit, but I'll help you through that. But my first characteristic of a loyal leader is, does that person have a heart for God? Now, again, if your organization doesn't have a spiritual focus, then you might think about a question, does this person desire to work for my company? Do they like the mission of the organization and what it stands for? Do they like the product and how it benefits others? Maybe those are substitute questions that you can think about. But for me, in my position, what's important to me is, does that person that I'm looking to bring up or join my team, do they have a heart for God? In other words, do they put God first in their life? Now, the litmus test that I use for this is, do they volunteer what they are learning from their relationship with God with me? In other words, do I have to prod and pull and observe, or do they willingly, voluntarily come to me and say, hey, I was praying the other day and I learned this, or I was reading my Bible and this jumped out to me, or I was having a discussion with somebody about this and man, I really learned this. What happens is that I begin to observe that God is first in their life. And that's important to me in my context, if whether or not that they will be a good team member and a loyal team member if they are able to put God first. Another thing that I look for is, can we pray together? And I've noticed that people that put God first, they love to say, yes, let's pray. And then I don't do all the praying. They jump in equally as well because they have a relationship with God as well. So those are two things. Do they volunteer about what they're learning from God with me and I don't have to ask them? And number two is, when we get together, do they volunteer to pray? And I can tell from that they have a relationship with God. So that's the first litmus test that I look for in, does a person have a heart for God? The second measuring point that I look for in determining loyal leaders is, do they have a heart for me? Now, stick with me. On the front end, this seems a little bit self-serving, but stay with me for a moment and I'll explain. Some time ago, I met with a pastor and he confided in me that he was going to need to remove his board chair. And I said, well, why? What's going on? He said, well, it appears, and this pastor was actually brought in, so he inherited this board. But he went on to say, it appears like this board chair just opposes me and questions me at everything that I bring, that I like to do, vision of the church. He just stands in my way. And I was like, wow, that's odd. But he said, before he took him out, in other words, he went and had lunch with him, and he asked the board chair this question. He said, what do you feel like your purpose is in leading the team? And here's what the board chair says. He said, I feel like my job is to be your nemesis. He's like, what? Yep. He said, I feel like my job is just to question and oppose everything that you do. Needless to say, he was removed. So what does it mean for a team member to have your heart or to be for you? It really means simply that they think in similar ways that you think, that they sometimes they're challenged by you and how you do things, but they're with you. They're for you. They want to see you succeed. That's what I think about when someone look for someone that is going to have my heart. Now, what I'm not saying is you surround yourself with yes people. That's not necessarily good as well. You end up in an echo chamber before too long, and that's not helpful. That's not growth. But it is something that to pay attention to is, do they have a heart for you? And here's my litmus test. Does the person that I'm either going to bring on the team or on my team, how do they respond when I correct them or when I give them specific direction that is different from what they're doing? Do they get all defensive and emotional and push back? Or do they simply say, yeah, I see your point. I'll make the change. Or maybe they say, yeah, I see your point. I was looking at it this way. And you might respond, yeah, I see the way that you're looking at it, but I want it done my way. Again, how do they respond when you correct them or direct them? And if they're really loyal leaders on your team, they'll adjust to the way that you would like things done. Now, the third characteristic is this, and this is where I made not one but two mistakes, is, does this person have a heart for your vision? That's really key. There was a friend of mine who played football in high school, and he said that during his time, they lost every game. And we're like, well, why did you lose every game? He said, because when we got to the huddle and the quarterback announced the play, the whole team would argue over whether that was the right play. Can you imagine? And so as a result, they lost every game. Here's what I find is that, does the person have a heart for your vision? And that is that, can you articulate the vision to them? Have you thought through it enough to write it down and to be able to convey it to them? Now, again, I mentioned my mistakes. I brought one person on the team. He had a strong leadership gift, and he obviously had favor with the people, but he openly said at times, I don't share your vision. And I thought, because they had a heart for God and they had a heart for me, that I could just disregard that they didn't have a heart for my vision. And it crashed. It didn't work. And then at a later time, I guess I didn't learn from that. A later time, I brought on another team member. And this one, again, I realized that I had done so because that person had helped me start the church. And I think I did it out of obligation and friendship rather than qualifying in these three characteristics of being a loyal team member. And again, they didn't share my vision either. They had a heart for God. They had a heart for me. Did not share the vision of the church. And as a result, it just didn't work. And so out of those two mistakes, I began to realize and begin to develop this lesson that I'm teaching you, that it's really important that if you want to have loyal team members, that they have a heart for God. Again, if you're in a non-spiritual situation, that do they like working for your company, or do they like the product of your company? Again, you kind of can arrange it to fit you. For my context, do they have a heart for God? Do they have a heart for me? Do they like me? Can they take direction and correction from me? And then finally, do they have a heart for my vision? And I mentioned it earlier, but I just want to highlight it. What is my litmus test here? Well, first of all, is you as the senior leader or supervisor or whoever you're leading, you must have the vision clear in your own mind. And one of the ways that I've found is writing it down. When you write it down, then you can easily convey it to someone else. And then second of all, just have a conversation with that person to say, hey, here's the vision. Here's the task. Here's what needs to be done. Does that connect with you? Are you on board with that? Does that make sense to you? And then you get an understanding from that to move forward. Here's an additional thought that I recognize, that embedded into every vision is values. Now, what's the difference? The vision is the what, and the values are the why. Why are we doing this? And so you can have a stated vision, but you can actually accomplish that in several different ways depending upon your values. For instance, in my setting, people might have a stated vision. They want people to connect with them and feel at home. The way we do it in our church is we do it through relationship in small groups. But in other churches, they may do it through classes and programs. Again, it's the same stated vision, but different values, different ways of going about accomplishing that vision. So you need to recognize that when you have a stated vision, there's also values underneath that vision of how you want them accomplished. And they are equally as important as the vision that you have. And so these three markers of selecting loyal leaders is primarily based on some kind of working relationship that you have with the person before bringing them onto your team or maybe promoting them up in your team. So the question is, what if you don't have any working relationship before someone comes along? Maybe you're working off of a resume and someone has just come to your church or organization and you have a sense that you want to invite them onto your team. But again, you don't have the relationship bridge in order to evaluate these three questions or these three characteristics in order to determine whether or not they're a good fit. Well, one of the observations that I've made over the years is, and again, this may not apply to a business setting, but certainly in a nonprofit or a community organization where volunteers are involved, is you get people that come to you that are ready-made, and then you get people that come to you that need to be made ready. There's a difference. When you get ready-made people, that means someone that has the skill and ability, they maybe even been involved in a previous organization of the very thing you want them to do. In other words, they come in made ready. And if you wait a long time to plug them in, they'll get bored, they'll get antsy, they'll think you don't value them. On the other hand, you have people that need to be made ready. In other words, they have the desire, they have the characteristic, and yet they just need some training or need some skill. If you're going to put a person that needs to be made ready in that position, you have to be ready to spend intentional time with them to outline what needs to be done and give them checkups along the way and evaluations that you might not have to do in the same way that a person that is already ready made. So you have to determine what kind of people they are when you bring them up and bring them on, of whether or not they are ready made or whether they have to be made ready. Regardless, I really encourage you to have some kind of an orientation type meeting for both of those kind of people to just lay out what your organization is, your church, and what your vision is and your values so that you can all be on the same page and grow together. Now, I want to, getting back to what, when you're bringing somebody on your organization or staff or team that you don't have a previous relationship with, what do you do? Well, what I recommend is that you interview their references. You get a few references and you ask the references the questions that I ask in the litmus test of the three characteristics. You ask the references those questions, such as, does this person have a heart for God when they work for you? Or again, apply that in your context. Or in this, when they work for you, were they, when you corrected them or needed to direct them in a different way, how did they respond? And then the third one, did they embrace and adapt to your vision of the organization? So again, you ask the references the question because you don't have a relationship with them at this point that you can answer them yourselves. And then the thing that you do once you've done your due diligence in that way is you take a risk. A leadership is about taking a risk. And at some point, you just have to say, you know, I'm going to bring them up. And even though I don't have a previous relationship with them, I have a great enough sense through the references and through conversation that I'm going to bring them on to the team. I want to close today with really a practical illustration of someone that's on our church staff that I didn't know very well before I brought them, he and his wife, onto the team. And so I have Nick here with me in the studio, and I'm just going to kind of go through our history and ask him some questions from his perspective and my perspective, and to give you just a real-life illustration of how I worked through bringing somebody onto the team and how they progressed, and so that you can get a sense of how you can do that if you're not in relationship with somebody that you'd like to bring into your team. Nick, good to have you with me today, and I've been talking about leadership and loyal leaders, and you certainly have been one over the years. You and your wife, you came to our church how many years ago? Do you remember?
8.5.
8.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember that the reason you came to our church is that you were looking for a change, but also there was a youth pastor position or youth leader position that we had open in our church. Is that correct?
It was.
Okay. So you came in, you and your wife, and honestly, I had been through 2 horrible years with the youth department here at church. I mean, we had changeover, we had problems, we had drama. I even had to step in for a period of time and lead myself. And I mean, I had fun doing it, but I knew that that wasn't what I wanted to do long term. We had people that from the congregation that had stepped up, parents and so forth, but that didn't seem to be working. And then you showed up, and I really didn't know you. I mean, I knew of you. You were were a part of a church in town, but not really leading the youth. You were supporting. Mm-hmm. And you came in, and as I recall, you can share your side, that I kind of gave you reasons why it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
What do you recall?
So in the beginning, you were very like, you were very kind, but you were very like honest about objections on how things, like when you bring in an outsider,
right?
How bringing that, there's so many challenges to it. Mm-hmm. When you're raising up somebody from inside, how they have the values of, you know, the organization, in this case the church, more. And so you did a good job of presenting the objections, but at the same time being really kind and loving about it, not just like, I don't want you here, here's why I don't want you.
Yeah.
You're more like, here's what's in front of us, and so we know what we're going to have to overcome if this is where you're supposed to be.
Right. And so, as you relay that back to me, that's kind of what I intended to do, and obviously that's what you got.
It was good.
But the thing that impressed me about you is that you didn't go, okay, I'll go someplace else.
Yeah.
You pressed in a little further, and this is what really got me, is you pressed in further and you said, I want to hear your story of what happened and why. And at that moment when you didn't walk away, but you pressed in closer and you wanted to know what went on and why, you wanted to understand it, I'm like, wow, maybe this is a guy I could work with.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems a little bit out of the box, and obviously I don't need another turnover. I don't need more drama. I don't need, but when you came and said, no, I really want to, let's sit down. I really want to hear the story of what happened and why and understand it. That's when I began to shift. My heart began to shift and to say, wow, maybe this can work.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you remember that conversation or...
No, I remembered vividly.
Okay.
And, you know, I think that was about maybe like a month and a half or 2 months into us being here.
Okay.
I mean, we felt like the first Sunday that we came and participated in Sunday morning, we felt like this was a place that we could, you know, at least come to church, you
right.
know. And not that we were looking to change, we just, you know, really, you know, felt connected. Mm-hmm. on that first Sunday. And then once we started, you know, coming to youth in, you know, on Tuesday nights, in the beginning, it was pretty much come and be a part of it, teach sometimes, see if you identify. And then once we really felt connected with the kids, we already felt like there was some anchors put down.
Right.
And so I knew that there was a, there, from the objections that you had stated, I could tell that you'd been through a lot. And right. you didn't need to go through something like that again. You have so many other things on your plate. Right. The last thing you need to do is invite something onto your plate that you didn't have that. You know, it's one thing if it like presents itself, you know, within whatever you're doing. But it's another one if you ask for,
right.
you know, this to come. And so yeah. you didn't, by you doing that, you displayed that you wanted to overcome whatever this was. Mm-hmm. And then I felt like I could be a part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really good. You know, just listening to you talk reminds me of something else, and that is that the way that I was counseled is that if you have a position open in your church, to not look for somebody to fill that position, but you first of all look for somebody that likes the family,
yeah,
likes the organization. Likes.
And I think you said that.
Yeah, too. And so, you know, that's oftentimes different from the way people work and even churches.
Yeah.
It's like I've heard people say they come in and visit a church for the first time and the pastor finds out they know how to play guitar really well, and the next Sunday they're up on the stage, you know, with the worship team. I'll go, wow.
Yeah.
Do they even like the family
exactly.
that they're a part of? And I think I had had that counsel, and I was incorporating that into our conversation.
Yeah.
To say before, yeah, we need somebody in our youth department to lead, but do you like our family?
Yeah.
Do you like our church? And obviously you did.
Yes.
You said you connected when you came in. So that was another
yeah.
another answer, you know, to a question that I had that yep. relates to loyal leaders. Well, he and his wife have been amazing. I tell you what, they've jumped in and they've busted the statistics.
Yeah.
Because the stats are that youth leaders stay, is it 2 to 3 years?
It's less than that.
Less than
it's
that.
It's less than a year.
Wow. It's less than a year.
Yeah.
And that turnover. And obviously, teenagers are going through enough in their life. They don't need a new leader every year.
Yeah.
And these guys have just busted that. I mean, they have just stayed, and they've been with us for 9.5 years.
Eight and a half,
I'm sorry. I'm pushing it. See there? I'm like...
You're just prophesying.
Yeah, that's right. And so... 8.5 years, they have raised up another young couple.
Yep.
That the wife, she came through the youth group, and they mentored her. He and his wife mentored her, and she got married, and now they are yeah. in the leadership, and they're doing an incredible job. So it's not just you, you know. I'm Papa Bear, you know.
Absolutely.
Nobody, no. You keep bringing people up, and I love that about
Absolutely.
You. And how it's working out.
That's key.
And so then you were a youth leader for a period of time. Then when did we bring you on our eldership team? Do you remember that?
It
how
was
long
in the it was I think it was 2014. So it was roughly about like within it was within 2 years of being a part of Crossroads that we were brought onto the elders.
Okay, so then we brought them into the elder team. Mm-hmm. And again, that's a different level of responsibility, and it's
yeah.
a different level of. Of also, what I'm going to say, just things that you carry and visibility in the congregation and
even authority.
Even authority. I mean, there's a when you step from one position like a youth pastor into eldership, you're really joining the pastoral type authority for the church, and
yeah.
so that was a big step.
It was big.
Yeah. So how did you handle that? I mean, did it just seem natural, or were there things you felt like you know, an added weight came upon you when you stepped up, or how did that happen?
It definitely. I mean, there was definitely an added weight,
mm-hmm.
but it felt very natural because I'm not just, you know, called to youth ministry. I really value youth ministry, and I know I'll always be a part of it. Maybe not
right.
in the same level that I am now, but in,
right.
you know, in stages of life, I know that it'll change, and so. It felt very natural to do that. You know, at the time you don't really know you don't really know the authority or the weight that you know will end up walking with. But then after you do it for a little while, then you kind of see it. And it's not that people talk to you differently, but it's that you have a spiritual responsibility to, you know, you know, be, you know, in prayer for things, or in, you know, how you lead, how you have conversations, and how you filter out things to people, you know, that, you know, you don't share information. It's not that you hide information, but like, right, you share things, sure, differently.
Yeah.
Because
you select.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I did notice that. And, you know, I've been in different leadership roles in, you know, business. And so I'm not applying everything into the church, but you do take some of those things, and you can tell that with some of those aspects are very similar too, where you carry yourself differently, you walk a little differently. It's not arrogance, it's just you, authority causes you to walk a little bit differently.
Right. Yeah. So then you have been an elder, still are an elder in our church. And during that time, we kind of had some bumps in our, yep, relationship. And again, I don't remember the issue. You probably remember. I don't think it's important. But the fact is that what I want to talk about here to give people hope is that our relationship got really strained. I mean, yeah, the relationship bridge was starting to collapse. It was like, is this going to crumble and collapse? And then, again, I don't remember the issues at hand. You probably do, but I don't think it's necessary. Yeah. I just know that it was a very powerful moment when you and your wife called my wife and I, and they said, we're coming over. We want to talk about this, because we realize our relationship is strained as elders, on working on the team together, wanting to stay loyal, but just knowing that we had a breach in the relationship. Yeah. And I'll never forget when you and your wife sat down and you said, first thing you said was, we're not going anywhere. We want to work out this problem.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what, as a senior leader, those words coming from someone on your team, when you know you could either walk away from each other or come back together, those words you said were so powerful.
Yeah. Well, we took serious when the beginning, when we, you know, became a part of Crossroads, we take very serious about being a part of a family. Mm-hmm. You know, I was raised in a very large family. Mm-hmm. My wife, not so much, but I'm a very loyal person.
Okay.
And so when I come to an impasse, and that situation was certainly an impasse. It was much more of a struggle, I think, on my wife's side than mine, but it was very, right, much a struggle for me too. But she made the same choice to say, this is, we're in relationship, we're in family, we work through our issues, we work through our problems.
Right.
And I'm not, you know, I want to get through this. I don't want to, and even if that conversation went south and walked away, went in the opposite direction I thought it was gonna, I knew that I came with what I do first, which is, I know that I'm a part of the team. I know that I'm loyal. Obviously, I'm loyal to my wife and my family.
Absolutely.
First, mm-hmm, but then I'm also extremely loyal to, you know, the family I'm a part of, spiritually speaking. And so what I experienced out of that as well is from a senior leader and his wife, that they were humble enough to say, you know, admit when they did something. You know, it's not that somebody did anything wrong. You know, it was a mistake on words. It wasn't, you know, something detrimental to where, like, somebody was saying something inappropriate behind your back, or, you know, using...
just a misunderstanding.
It was a severe misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And so I think that was probably the healthiest thing, too, was when we said that, I think that, you know, really made the conversation more calm.
Yeah, set the stage for,
exactly, for
dialogue
us,
and repair and,
exactly,
and acknowledgement,
yeah,
and... Very much so.
Because you two learned a lot about us in that, not, correct, just from how we started it, but the information that we shared during it, mm-hmm, were some deep things that we don't really share with a lot of people.
Right.
And so we were being very vulnerable. And it was a time where, you know, like, relationships have to grow.
Right.
And in deep agitation, relationships really grow.
Yeah.
And that one forged a much stronger relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah. It certainly did. So we made it through that time, and obviously we were better for it. And
yeah,
then about a year and a half ago,
yeah,
we brought Nick on staff full time here, mm-hmm, at Crossroads and,
yeah,
in our church. And it's been, man, it's just been amazing. I mean, the season of that we walked through with the pandemic and, yeah, needing to go online, and we had been video taping our services, and then we'd edit and post on Monday, but now we knew we need to go online, and,
yeah,
You were so instrumental in just bringing in expertise we needed, as well as learning yourself, and really have got a quality of production, so to speak, of what we do online on Sundays. And God sent you at just the right time.
We're getting better.
I have no idea what I would have done. Probably instead of my hair going gray, it would have fallen out. But everything just worked, and it's been a joy to work with you and grow with you. And it's been awesome to see how, you know, these principles of what I've laid out of do you have a heart for God? Do you have a heart for me? And do you have a heart for the vision? You certainly fit every one of those characteristics as a loyal team leader. And it's not without bumps.
Nope.
I mean, that's how relationships go. That's how organizations grow.
Yep.
Is not without bumps. And so just wanted to, I felt like it was important just to interview you and let the folks see and hear, you know, how it works in a real life situation, and how it can really work, and you can make it through the barriers. So I just want to wind up this podcast today and just, again, give you a summary. And that is, it is this: does the person, again, we're talking about selecting loyal leaders. And so does the person have a heart for God first? And again, if your organization is not spiritual, do they have a heart for your company? Do they have a heart for your product? Second of all, does the person have a heart for you as the primary leader? Do they like you? Can they receive from you? Can they be corrected from you? Again, that's a part of developing loyal leaders or a loyal team. And then third is, does the person have a heart for your vision? And that is realizing that embedded into your vision is values. You have to recognize that values are the way things are done, how you feel it's important. And you can have a vision that's common, but you can have different values of how that vision gets accomplished. And it's important to understand that. And so I've found that if those three things are not in alignment, that it's going to be bumpy. You're going to have lots of crashes along the way, and it's just simply not going to work. Also mentioned that you'll get people in your organization that are ready-made, and some need to be made ready. In some ways, Nick was ready-made. In other ways, he needed to be made ready. Sometimes you get a combination of that. And then also we touched on the fact that maybe you want to bring somebody onto your team and you don't have a previous relationship with them. You are working off of a resume. How do you do that? Again, their references are so key that you ask the questions that I talked about in the three characteristics. You ask those to their references and get some kind of a sense, and then take a risk. So there you have it, selecting loyal leaders. If you, maybe you have some thoughts that you'd like to share with us, maybe you have some questions that you'd like to dig in a little deeper, we'd like to do that. So again, you can comment down below. You can send us an email. Nick, maybe you have other ways that they can get a hold of us that is that you would suggest. So is that,
you can send a DM through whatever social platform that we post this to, email, and you can also call the church office. You can find it on the website, crossroadswinchester.com.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So again, thanks for listening today. And we're learning as well. The subject matter was selecting loyal leaders. And hopefully your leadership has been lifted up today. Take care.